So we've been looking at the first letter of St. Paul to the church in Corinth, and it might be well summarized by what you might see on a child's report card: gifted but troubled. We've seen many aspects of the ways in which the Corinthian church is troubled by divisions, troubled by an elitism of many of its members who feel that they are a special kind of Christian compared to the plebs underneath them. But what St. Paul is focusing on our reading from Corinthians chapter 12 is the gifted aspect of the Corinthian church. He focuses very much on that word, gifts. And the word in the original is charisma. The charismas are the gifts that God gives his church through the Holy Spirit. And Paul gives a definition in our passage of what such a gift is. In verse 7, he says it is given to each member of the church, a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul also enumerates some of them. He says there's the message of wisdom, there's the message of knowledge, there's gifts of healing, there's miraculous powers, etc., etc. But unfortunately, these gifts were yet another reason for division in the Corinthian church. Because guess what? These elite Christians were using their flashier gifts as a way to make themselves feel more superior to those who had more ordinary gifts. Now, if there were a book about the history of the Christian faith with a chapter for each century, then the chapter of the 20th century would almost certainly have the title The Charismatic Century, with a capital C for charismatic, because the church across the world was given new life and power by the so-called charismatic revivals. These involved a central focus on the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit, who had been referred to up until then as rather the forgotten member of the Holy Trinity. And today you'll find many churches which would describe themselves as capital C charismatic or Pentecostal. Maybe you've even been to one yourself. They're sometimes given the rather insulting name Happy Clappy. I myself became a Christian in one such church in Oxford. And they are, without fail, the churches which are growing. They're the churches which have the highest proportion of young people in them. They tend to be characterized by quite loud, modern-sounding music that's not to everybody's taste, unstructured services, and, of course, the open display of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, of people prophesying, of people praying in tongues. Now, I want to argue that every church should be a charismatic church. And that doesn't mean that every church needs loud guitars or that it needs people putting their hands in the air while they're singing or anything like that. But it does mean that every church should be using the gifts, the charismas, which the Holy Spirit gives for the common good. Because here's the thing, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Jesus said in our gospel reading, he'll be with you, he'll be in you. You can tell he's there because he gives you a love for Jesus, which you wouldn't otherwise have. He gives you a need and an ability to read the Bible. He gives you a desire to pray. He gives you a reassurance that you are a son or a daughter of God Almighty. In fact, you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit's presence in your heart. That would be like having a car, but opening the boot and there's no engine in it. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just supply the things I've just been talking about, that kind of love for Jesus and reassurance. He also supplies each Christian with gifts, spiritual abilities for the sake of other Christians. And as I've said, Paul mentions some of them in our passage. They're manifestations of the Spirit coming out into the open, if you like. Someone, for example, might be a grade 8 at the violin, but you can't tell that by looking at them, can you? You can't just read their mind and tell that they're a grade 8 in a violin. You only know that when they pick up the instrument and start to wow everybody with their amazing skills. It's the same way with spiritual gifts. We can't kind of see what spiritual gifts people have on the outside. They need to be expressed in order for them to even exist. And I would distinguish, as I've already hinted at, between the flashy gifts and the not-so-flashy gifts. All those, of course, aren't Bible words, but I think it's a helpful way to think of them. And also, think of it like an orchestra. Not everybody can be the conductor. Not everybody can be the soloist. But you also need the folk who provide all the other background parts too. It can't just be the soloists. And I wonder if you detected that in some of Paul's words. He said, think of a body. The whole body can't be a nose, can it? The whole body can't be an eye. You need all the different parts of the body, even though some of them seem more honourable than others, to make the whole body work. So what are the flashy gifts? Well, they're those like prophecy or speaking in tongues, which are not part of everyday life outside the church. And Paul says not, oh, you might have them, or that they are there, but they're quite rare and obscure. No, he assumes that many Christians will possess these gifts. Elsewhere, he positively encourages them. He says, don't despise prophecies. And I think we're making a mistake if we ignore these flashy gifts and push them to one side. Because let's be honest, they make us a bit scared. They're not at all British, are they? And to be honest, they sound a little bit insane. But Paul calls on Christians to eagerly desire such flashy gifts. And remember, they are there to build up the church for the common good. And so it's no wonder, I think, that churches which encourage these gifts of prophecy, of healing, of speaking in tongues, are the ones that are growing, because their people are the most encouraged and built up. I myself found my faith as a young Christian so strengthened by belonging to a church where people were physically healed in front of my very eyes, where prophecy saved people from addictions and brought them to faith in Jesus Christ, where people singing in tongues made it sound like you were in heaven. After the songs had finished, people would still keep singing, as if they were singing some beautiful piece of choral music. And you speak to them afterwards, and that was just the Spirit working through them. It was like you were in heaven. Amazing. Now, I suspect we may be a bit further away from having people in our churches prophesy or pray in tongues. I don't know. It might happen this evening. You never know. High expectations, as always. But it would be great if we could just follow St. Paul's advice and not push aside these flashy gifts, if you like. Not, as he says, despise them. If we could kind of turn down our cynicism about them. If we could perhaps even begin to desire them, as St. Paul urges the churches to do. Because at the end of the day, they are there to build up other Christians and to encourage them. But then there are the non-flashy gifts. These are talked about later on in chapter 12. And Paul talks about things like the gift of helping, the gift of administration. These are gifts which perhaps you would find outside the church. But in this case, they're being used for the sake of other Christians. And it's important to bear in mind that these also are gifts given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. And of course, the ones Paul mentions here aren't an exhaustive list. It's not like if you don't find it here, you don't have a gift of the Holy Spirit. These are just a hint about some of the amazing things the Holy Spirit can do. And I think if you have something good at, that you're good at, if you have something that you enjoy, and you're using it to help others in the church, then that is probably a gift of the Holy Spirit. For some, it's administration. I wish the Holy Spirit would give me a little bit more of that. For others, it's reading from the scriptures. For others, it's making the church look beautiful with flowers. For others, it's being good with the numbers, as it were. For others, it's teaching. And for others, it's a deep faith which inspires the whole church. And it's really important to bear in mind that Paul says to each one is given a gift. It's like when Santa comes to visit the toddler group. He doesn't just give three presents out, does he? And the rest are left crying in a corner. No, every toddler has got to have a present, doesn't it? And it's the same in the church. Every Christian is given a gift from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just give gifts to the ordained, to the exceptional, but to every single Christian. Now, if you know that you're a Christian because you've turned away from your sin, you've trusted in Jesus Christ through his death on the cross for the forgiveness of those sins, and you know the Spirit's witness in your heart, then you have a gift. There's no two ways about it, which is to be used for the common good of the church. And there's different ways people often react to this when I've spoken in the past about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and his witness in our lives. Some people say to me, I'm not sure if I am a Christian, according to the definition that you've just given. And I would say, don't be content with being unsure. This is the most important question you will ever face. Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you a Christian or not? It's a question that you need to address here and now, maybe even today. Come and see me. Come and speak to me. Send me an email. We can meet up for coffee to talk about this, the most fundamental question there is in the world. But other people often say to me, do you know what? I think I know what my gift is. I've been helping the church by being a treasurer. I've been helping with the flowers, or I quite often read. And I say, great, praise God. Use that gift more and more to bless other Christians. But very often I find people say to me, I don't really know what my gift is. And if that's you, think about what you enjoy doing outside church. Think about what you've enjoyed doing in the past or people have told you you're good at. And consider whether you could be doing that for the church, for other Christians. Pray about it. Often we're the worst judges of what we're good or bad at, but other Christians, other members of the church can suggest things to us. And God often uses other Christians to help us find out what our gifts are. And pray that God would give you confidence to manifest that gift, to bring it out into the open for the common good. And so I hope and pray that in our benefice, in our church, God would show us and grow in us our individual gifts for the building up of each one of his people. So let's pray that he would do exactly that. Lord, we thank and praise you that you have given us the gift of your Holy Spirit.